You're listening to the Youth Critic Podcast on KHZ Network. Find us on Facebook at DecibelUNG Radio and find us on Twitter at DecibelUNG. If you like this episode, please leave a like and comment on our iTunes page at KHZ Network. And now for the podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Youth Critic Podcast. I am your host, Kel Smith. Today, we are continuing our coverage of the Atlanta Film Festival 2020. The film festival finally happened, and I was able to watch movies and cover some stuff, do a couple interviews here and there. So this week is all about, on the Youth Critic Podcast, the Atlanta Film Festival. Everything that's going to come out in the next week, maybe even next, you know, week or two, is going to be myself presenting coverage for the Atlanta Film Festival. First, I would like to thank Atlanta for making this all happen, and of course Atlanta Film Society for just even throwing the show on in the midst of, you know, everything. Of course, that's everything that's going on. But today, I have an interview today with Abduction director Paul Comadina, and he hails from all the way from Australia, and so I was very lucky to get an interview with him and work everything out. He had some really interesting things to say. We will talk about Abduction in the two-parter all-encompassing Atlanta Film Festival review that me and Sean Estridge, the host of the Missing Frames podcast, we will cover all that, you know, very soon. Dates on that should be sometime this weekend or maybe a little next week. We will see. Anyway, thanks everyone. Here is the interview with Paul Comadina for Abduction. Thank you for coming on, Paul. Do you mind just telling us a little bit about yourself and then a little bit about what Abduction is about?
So, yeah, hi, I'm Paul Comadina, the director of a short film called Abduction. It's about a girl called Matilda, set in a small country town. On a night out, she passes out and the next morning wakes up in a field with no memory of what happened or how she got there and has to retrace her steps and ultimately face a trail of judgment and cruelty from her town.
So backing up a bit, where did the genesis of this movie come from?
Well, it was written by Frances Elliott. She's a good friend of mine and a colleague, and she had her drink spiked on a night out in a club and went through an ordeal. And the next day called me first. And one of the things she found was a lot of her friends kind of either didn't believe what she went through or sort of subtly blamed her, you know, said things like, oh, why'd you leave your drink lying around and all this kind of stuff. And so not only was she dealing with the aftermath of this, you know, incident, she was sort of dealing with some of her friends not quite taking it seriously, which I think she was quite shocked and hurt and offended by. And she took that experience and spun it into this alien abduction story, because there's a lot of parallels between, you know, being drugged and losing time through an alien abduction. And I think it was her way of dealing with it, but also, you know, turning it into a piece of fiction as another way into the story.
So the story ultimately becomes about the loss of control, the loss of your own self-control, a sense, right?
That, yeah, absolutely. And also, you know, having your friends, your community not believe you and then judge you because they think you've done things you maybe haven't, or, yeah, it becomes sort of a story of victim blaming, really.
Wow. And in a way that's relevant in, you know, in our times today, the victim blaming and all of that going on today. I didn't even pick up on that. I knew, watching the movie short, I picked up that this was possibly, you know, a rape allegory. Mm-hmm. But I don't know why I didn't pick up that at all about the spiked drink. Now I remember the opening, you know, they get the drinks from this. Oh my goodness. Wow. I did not pick up on that at all.
It's late in there. Maybe it's a bit subtle. The film is intentionally quite open in a lot of ways. So we discussed that a lot, Francis and I. We wanted a film that's open to interpretation. They're the kind of films we like. So it's been interesting getting back, you know, getting different feedback from people who have seen it, because everyone kind of gets something different from it.
Wonderful. So in so after the script was written, how did the process of getting the project made happen? Because this is actually kind of one of the more ambitious shorts that, you know, that I've seen from, that I've seen lately from the, this from this festival. And this is what I'm saying, is it's a very ambitious short.
Yeah, no, well, thanks for saying that, because it was in the end entirely self-funded. So we, you know, Frances wrote it, she brought it to me and my producer, Cody Greenwood. We, you know, immediately loved it, obviously. And we, you know, in Perth, Western Australia, we're lucky we've got a funding body. It's government funding body that, you know, you can go to, and they have regular rounds for all sorts of things. And we did put in for this funding scheme to make it, and we got shortlisted, but ultimately we didn't get it. You know, they only give out two or three in each round. So we were disappointed, but at the same time, we sort of, we just felt so strongly about it for so many reasons that we had to make it. So, you know, Cody and I took some money that we have been, we, you know, we were making ads at the time. So we took a bit of money aside, you know, the essentially the company profit from that kind of stuff, and decided to just fund it. That said, it wasn't a huge amount of money. It was still a lot of crew, cast, you know, everybody basically worked for nothing. All that money went into gear and props and feeding people and that sort of thing. So a lot of favors, a lot of help from a lot of people to make this happen.
Wow, incredible. So, and how long did this this film cycle take, this production development cycle?
I guess, you know, writing the scripts and developing that a couple of months, pre-production, you know, deciding how to do it and what time of year and getting our cast together, probably a few more months. The shoot itself was 5 days, with a couple of pickups later. The real time was in post. It was a good year and a half, maybe, roughly a year and a half. And most of that was because, you know, people were working on it for free. So our sound, our music, our VFX were handled by, you know, some companies that we've worked with doing commercials. So getting, you know, top quality work, but they're slipping it in between all of their other projects. So, you know, some days we get a lot done in 1 week, and then they wouldn't be able to touch it for a month or two. And, you know, we can't complain because we're getting great work and they're doing it for free. But it really does, you know, that extended the process. But it was all worth it in the end, because everything just looked amazing.
Nice. So as a filmmaker myself, and I have produced, I'm not directed a special effects story yet, but I've been a producer of a couple. How are you able to balance in your 5 days how to do the special effects versus all of the, you know, the character and dialogue sequences in the film?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, because obviously it's both a balance, you know, practically, like you're saying, but also a balance in the story, because, you know, the story is, as much as it is a sci-fi and we have, you know, a few effects in there, we don't want them to be really something you think about, and we want this to be a very visceral, experiential film. And just kind of, they're there to serve the story, and they're there because that's what our main character, Matilda, you know, sees and feels and hears. So, you know, they were approached, you know, quite practically, and that, you know, it was always about the emotion. We definitely put time aside. In my commercial work and my other projects, I've done a lot of VFX. I kind of know what you need to get. And so I just really tried to make it as simple as possible for the actors. And we just scheduled time for it.
Nice. And for, and I wanted to talk about specifically, and I'm not going to go into heavy spoilers on this, but I wanted to talk about the bathtub scene, because to me, that was really the most compelling, not necessarily special effects scene, but just compelling, just like in, you know, in the visceralness of it all. And I was wondering, how did y'all put that together?
Yeah, well, thanks for highlighting that one. That was a lot of fun, and definitely inspired by a lot of body horror films, which, you know, I sort of like, whether it's Cronenberg or quite a specific reference for us was Black Swan, when she's pulling the
feather.
I think they're the, you know, stems of feathers out of her back, and you know, fingernail stuff and that. That was in the script that she pulled something out of her stomach. We did try it a couple of different ways. We had a prosthetic built. Didn't quite, it was done by a very talented person and it was great, but just in the water and in, under such a close lens, it didn't quite hold up. I'll give it away here because nobody's asked before. But Alex Nell, our lead actor, actually has a piercing. So we were able to kind of thread it through that and hide sort of the tail end of where that sort of felt like it's coming out of her, where it was, you know, in effect, just sort of going through a little hole in her skin.
Nice. And for the actress, it's Alex, correct?
Yeah, Alexandra Nell, Alex.
For her, how did she get to the level she needed? I know this might be more of a question for her, but from your experience, mm-hmm. how did she get to the emotional level that she needed to reach for the role? Because this is, it's an emotionally, devastating role.
It is. It's a devastating story. It's a heavy story. And, she had to go to some places for sure. We obviously talked a lot, at script stage and in pre-production about what the character goes through. And, it is interesting in that there are potentially a couple of realities going on from a storytelling point of view. But for her point of view, it has to be one thing that she picks. So, whether this is real or in her head, it's kind of more of a story point. So for her, every little thing was real. How she got there herself, you're right. That's a question for her. But Alex is amazing, and she's got a lot of depths to draw on, and she seems to do it very effortlessly from the outside.
She really did an incredible job, in capturing that, in putting us, the viewer, into that, mind space that. So I wanted to, I have a couple more questions. So how did you come up with the idea? Because a lot of the shots are very claustrophobic. How did you come up with, the kind of claustrophobic storytelling of this movie? Because there's a lot of claustrophobic shots or very close shots that create that claustrophobia.
Right. Well, yeah, no, it's glad you're feeling that, and I'm glad it's working, because that's what we're definitely going for, especially, it's set in a small country town and, some of it's outdoors, but we still wanted that claustrophobia and the feel of the world closing in on her. I think a lot of it was just the camera's always with her. We're either looking at her face or we're over her shoulder. So, even if we're on a wide angle lens, we're right there with her, and you get a sense of the world that, it's either out of focus or it's in shadow. So it still felt oppressive. And, that was the plan. So I'm glad it worked for you.
All right. And so what else are you working on right now? Because I was looking at IMDb, seeing what else you got, and I was just wondering if you had anything up the pipeline.
Yeah, well, the day job's directing commercials, which, we've been pretty lucky in Perth that COVID hasn't hit us too hard, and productions, they paused for a while, but they're really cranking right now. I'm working on several things. They're mostly feature scripts. It's a very long, protracted process. So I probably can't talk too much to the plot of any of them, but okay. I've got an Outback horror that I'm working on, and pretty excited about, and I'd love that to be the next one.
Nice. And what else, what's next for Abduction?
We've had Cinefest Oz in Perth. It's currently screening at Atlanta Film Festival. Devastated we couldn't be there. Obviously, that's the state of the world at the moment. I had my
appointment. We missed y'all. We missed everyone.
Yeah. next in October, just a couple of weeks away, is the North Bend Film Festival, and they've combined with The Overlook and, I don't know off the top of my head, but about four other film festivals into Nightstream, which is this big online festival, which is really cool. It's really cool to see that, everyone's adapting to what's going on and trying to still host something for audiences. So we're really excited to be part of that one. I recorded a Q&A the other night. Beyond that, nothing is publicly announced yet, but hopefully this is just the beginning of our festival journey.
Well, I wish you the best of luck, Paul. Thank you so much, and thank you for making a great movie.
Thanks so much, Kyle.